Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, and Snowpack Watch is Jeff Bliss. There is more good news for California and the West because La Nina, because snow. Jeff, when last we spoke, the snowpack was building. I remember the number 200 inches. Is it continuing to build? Are things looking better for the aquifer come summer?
Good evening, John. Things are looking great for the aquifers, for the folks down in the Central Valley who count on this water for the farmlands, for the rest of the state that need it for everything you can think of, from cooking to cleaning. So, yeah, things are looking great. I wouldn't say we're out of the woods yet. Right now, when you talk about the snowpack, we're about between 135 and 145% of normal for this time of year. And that's great for this time of year, but really, it doesn't really count until we get to April, until we get to mid to late spring. And we look at the total accumulation over the winter and the early spring when it comes to snow, that we can say whether or not we're going to have a good year, we're going to be out of a drought. I tend to think we're going to be very close to the number for what counts as a drought, what counts as being out of a drought, but things are looking great right now. People are really excited. What is interesting is to hear the politicians who want to exert control over the state and the newspapers who back them, you know, without hesitation, saying, hey, you know, we still have to be careful. We still need to enact water conservation because we're really, you know, deep in a drought right now. You just don't realize it. So you've got a lot of people in Sacramento trying to push for controls and a lot of other people saying, what are you talking about? Everything around me is wet. All the mountains are covered with this white stuff. What are you talking about?
Why do people live in California? We're about to find out. Jeff, how's the weather in L.A.? What's the beach look like?
The weather's been great so far this weekend. We're talking about mid to high 60s right now. So, of course, everybody's walking around in shorts and T-shirts and sandals. It's a little chillier up north. It's in the mid-50s, but still kind of warm for what you'd consider the beginning of January. But people are happy about it. They don't feel like they're in a drought. They feel, hey, this is California weather. There's snow on the mountains. I can't beat it.
The winter I spent in Irvine at the university was a stunning reminder that California has gorgeous weather. It was wintertime, and there was no reason for a coat. Each evening, there was a gentle breeze. I believe that what I experienced is why people stay, even though the taxes are high and the politics are strange. Here in the East, Jeff, we're under winter blanket where we expect to be. The idea that you can wander to the beach in the middle of January is, well, it's not acceptable. So let's move on. The homeless. The governor is again pledging more money for the homeless. There is a very good idea that came up recently. We didn't discuss it at length, which is tiny houses for the homeless. Is it popular? Is it catching on? Is it working?
It really is catching on. It's kind of the soup du jour for a lot of politicians dealing with homelessness. The homeless industrial complex is saying this is a way we can solve the problems. You know, it takes up more space than a shelter or other solutions they've had to homelessness, but it's a step in the right direction. Again, the problem with it is, though, they can't build enough of these to really make a dent. So when they talk about a tiny home village here and a tiny home village there, they're talking 20, 30, 50 of these, when you're talking about a homeless population that's in the hundreds of thousands for the state. But people feel like it's a good step in the right direction. They might be able to move some people out of homelessness. This is a good transition point. But right now, it's a very popular part of the movement. Even Arnold Schwarzenegger, the former governor, movie star, kicked in quite a bit, but it was enough to buy 25 of these tiny homes for homeless veterans. He's in the LA area, and so are they. So as you can see, it's starting to get on the scope of celebrities as well.
I think it's a good idea if it works, and the resale value is terrific. I've always thought that tiny, especially when they put them on wheels, so that you don't have to pay property taxes. It's a mobile home, and you hook it up to the back of a truck. Now, if you're homeless, you probably don't have a truck, but somebody might. And it doesn't address what you've identified for years, Jeff, which is this is not about housing. This is about chemical dependency or an inability to get away from people who have bad influences on you. And that isn't going to be solved by having a house or a home. It might in some small instances. Let's move to another story that I've delayed getting to, but here it is. I read that the great big Dixie Fire in the north, which you identified right early on as this is going to be big, I believe it approached 1 million acres. Is that right, Jeff? 1 million acres.
That's correct. It's very close to 1 million acres, about 960,000 all told, which is one of the largest in U.S. history.
Now, the surprise, but it really isn't a surprise, is that they have an explanation for why. What is the explanation, Jeff?
The current explanation by the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection is that the fire was caused by a tree contacting electrical distribution lines that are owned and operated by PG&E, where Pacific Gas and Electric, which is the big energy supply utility in Northern California. And PG&E has been in the crosshairs of lawyers and plaintiffs and others for quite some time because of their involvement with a number of wildfires, some that have been very deadly, certainly many that have caused billions of dollars in damage and ravaged natural resources, wildlands, those types of places. So there's a lot of anger and resentment, especially in Northern California, towards PG&E. And this latest bit of news is only going to stoke those fires, so to speak, even more.
Jeff, this was a big story a couple of years ago when there was a killer fire. I remember, it wiped out a whole town. PG&E made adjustments. There was a change of personnel. I think there was some talk of how they were going to pay for it because the bills were tremendous. They were sued. None of it mattered. None of it came to any success. Why aren't they out there inspecting all their lines or moving them or cutting the trees down?
It can be argued that they are out there inspecting their lines and trying to update equipment and, you know, make repairs and such. But number one, their network is very old. In some cases, it's said that some of their equipment is a century or more old. Secondly, their network is so vast, they don't have enough people. Even if they contracted probably everybody from across the United States with ability to deal with this, they wouldn't have enough people. This is a huge, vast network. As the state has grown, as the population has grown, so has the network. And they just have not been able to get a handle on it. But there are questions about where they have spent their money and where they've spent their time. And there have been lawsuits about that and all kinds of allegations in Sacramento saying, you're willing to pay your executives a boatload of money. You're willing to work toward, you know, indemnifying, you know, protecting the company from all kinds of liabilities, both pre and post events. But you're not willing to put the money toward inspecting more lines or making more improvements. And that's really what a lot of people are upset about. In addition, there have been some of these fires where people pointed out ahead of time saying that piece of equipment or that line is perilously old, dangerous, close to, you know, trees, that type of thing, and nothing was done. So you have a lot of people saying, you know, maybe not all of these are preventable, but a good number of them are, and certainly a good number that resulted in the deaths of people here in California. So, like I said, there are a lot of people very angry at the way that PG&E has gone after fixing these things.
And finally, some good news. The snowpack is about the summertime. And right now, you have a very good snowpack, but you tell me you're short. How short, Jeff?
Well, for the snowpack itself, if we were to end the year right now, we'd only be a little over half. But, you know, like I said, we've got between now and April, and these are traditionally the big rainy months in California and the West. So I think there's a lot of confidence that we're going to be very close to the number we need to be out of the drought.
Thanks to La Nina. Thanks to patience in Northern California. Jeff Bliss. Snowpack Watch is Jeff Bliss. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.